If you have your Bibles, you'll want to open to Acts chapter 6. As we continue making our way through life in the Spirit, the series we're going through in Acts, you may remember that last week we talked about the unstoppable work of God. And while I was sharing with you about that, I had a wardrobe malfunction. My sleeve kept coming down underneath and stuff. So today it's not happening. I wore really long sleeves. I'm going to make sure I get that out of the way now. In a couple moments, I'm going to ask you to stand as we talk about God's dream team and we read our scripture. But before we do, have any of you heard of synergy or know of something that is synergistic? Let me give you a kind of brief example. I work with my boss, Lenny. There's just two of us in the company. And we have worked together since 1995, a long time. And I'm not going to try to figure it out and stuff like that. And what we have found over the years is that if he's working on a job and I'm working on a job, it seems to go really slow. But if we work together, we can accomplish far more together than we can apart. He only has to concentrate on marking the tile and installing it, and then I'm running up and down the stairs or back and forth and making the cuts and preparing everything. And so he never has to change his train of thought or what he's doing. And in that sense, the work goes more than twice as fast. That would be synergy. Together, we can accomplish more than we can separately. And that's what I want us to talk about today as we talk about God's dream team. And I'm going to ask you to stand as we read through our scripture in Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. And I know some of you are opening your phones to get the scripture there, and you have your Bibles. And if any of you have really been paying attention, it is in your bulletin on the very back of the handout that was put in there this week for you. And our scripture reads like this: In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Thank you. You may be seated, and may God bless the reading of his holy word. You see, God wants his people to work as a team as they go about his unstoppable work. And how can we do that? How can we, as Christians, be team players as we do our part in furthering God's work? Well, today I want us to look at 4 different ideas from our scripture about teamwork and working together and fulfilling God's purpose in our lives and around our world. And the first is that team players must be willing to step up and meet the need. The apostles, they had been in leadership training under the greatest teacher that ever walked the face of this earth. They were students of Jesus of Nazareth for 3 years. And they had learned a lot about helping people as they watched Jesus as he was at work. It was not surprising that after Jesus left them with the mission and he sent the Holy Spirit to help them accomplish that mission, that we find the disciples distributing food to the many widows who had come to believe in Jesus. You see, the disciples, they had helped Jesus distribute food when he fed the 4,000 and again when he fed the 5,000. And we read in Acts a little earlier that some of the Christians in the early church, they had sold some extra property and they laid the money at the feet of the apostles. And the purpose of that money was to help meet the physical needs of those who were in the church, those who lacked, those who just needed something. So for an unknown period of time here, the apostles, they are working hard at it. trying to meet the physical needs of the people that they are ministering to. And the largest group of people who had the needs were the widows. See, scholars will tell us that many foreign Jews who lived in other lands, they would make their way back to Israel and especially to Jerusalem in their old age because that is where they wanted to be buried. And so consequently, there seemed to be a large concentration of displaced widows in Jerusalem. They had traveled there with their husbands had passed away, and now they are there. And Jews, they typically provided very well for the widows in obedience to the Old Testament, which instructed them to take care of the widows. However, there aren't enough foreign synagogues in Jerusalem to adequately care for all these non-native Jewish widows. And that is where the church steps in. Many of these widows are receiving the gospel and they're turning to Jesus Christ. So Peter and the other apostles, they're doing their very best to try to meet the needs. But do you realize that by this time, the church could have very well been 10,000 people as it keeps growing and growing. Even 12 leaders could not keep up with all the demands of trying to provide for the spiritual leadership that this church needs, along with making sure that everyone had enough to eat, trying to take care of their spiritual needs and their physical needs together. But the point to be made is that the apostles, they had actually stepped up and they were doing what they could to meet the needs of these people. And the lesson that we get from that for us here is that we will face times when people need help. And we're in a position to help them. Ministry will need to happen. And if we do not step up and just do it, then the need will go unmet. This need is common in both small churches and in large churches as well. Sometimes you just have to roll up your sleeves and get to work. Some of you caught it. Even if you're not especially gifted in that certain area, that's not your forte. Now, I appreciate how many of you over these years, 11 years I've been the lead pastor here, and over this time, how many of you have stepped up and helped out, whether it's teaching a class or providing a meal, maybe helping to lead worship. Some of you are willing to stick around afterward and clean up. You saw something that needed to be done, and you just stepped up to the plate and made sure it got done. Thank you for doing that, and I believe that God will seize it, and he will bless you for it. However, I want to point out that we are all wired differently. God has given us unique gifts. We can all do certain things better than we can do other things. I am good with my hands when it comes to construction and building things and doing stuff. I am not good whatsoever in the musical side of it. I have tried and tried and tried. I cannot do it. I have no musical aptitude, but there are others in here who do, and you can do that. And see, through our willingness to serve and to step up and to meet the needs, we may find ourselves tied to an area that we are not really suited for long term. We may find ourselves peg-holed in an area where we're not using the gifts the best we can. Doesn't mean that we should panic, that we should throw our hands up, that we should bail out and say, I'm out of here. But let's look at the second principle that the apostles had to grapple with. And that is that team players must recognize when it's time to get out of the way. See, there may come a time when we need to make room for the gifts of others. Maybe God has been using you in a certain area, and you've been faithful to do the very best that you could in that area. But you know that you are not using your God-given abilities to their fullest. There is something that you could be doing better. Time to move and let somebody else come in. Sometimes that requires honesty and humility. I would say even a willingness to stay at it until God releases you. The apostles apparently weren't doing an adequate job of distributing the food. They're not really equipped to run a food distribution program. However, there were others who would be able to put in the time and the energy that was needed in meeting the physical needs of the Christian community. The apostles, they knew exactly what it is that they were called to do. And they did not consider themselves above helping others, above helping the widows when it required that. However, they knew that they were being pulled away from the very thing that God had called them to do, from the Word of God and from prayer. Their days were being filled with making sure that the hundreds of people were adequately cared for. It was exhausting work. It was endless work. Perhaps their prayer lives were suffering. We rarely think of people in the Bible as struggling with their prayer lives, but it's very well that the apostles were. They were spending so much time on the physical needs that they were neglecting some of the spiritual parts of it. So the apostles go and they present this idea to the church that the church should go and select 7 men who would be able to serve the Lord by taking care of the food distribution. Now, most scholars agree that since the names of these 7 men were Greek names, that they were probably Greek-speaking Jews from other places who had come and relocated there in Israel. In other words, they were from the group of people who were actually complaining about the needs of the widows among them. Rather than selecting Jews who were native, local Jews, if you want, they chose foreigners to oversee the food distribution. See, the church, it was not worried that their own interests would not be served. They just wanted to make sure that the need was being met. Well, 7 men were picked. They were apparently very godly and trustworthy men who would deal fairly in all that they did. And that brings us to our third point, and that is that team players should seek qualities that will enable them to help others. 3 qualities that were mentioned of these men is that they were Spirit-filled, and that is Spirit-filled present tense. These men were filled with the Spirit here and now. It doesn't say that they had been filled with the Spirit and that it was a done deal when they had spoken in tongues. No, they were known to be full of the Spirit. No doubt the fruit of the Spirit, it was evident in their lives. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those fruits were flowing from their lives. The power of the Spirit was evident in their lives, and they shared the good news with others. You see, folks, we need to be full of the Holy Spirit. We need to seek God on a daily basis and ask Him to fill us with His Spirit so that we can be and we can do all that He has called us to be, all that He has called us to do. Now, if you have asked God to forgive you of your sins and to be the leader of your life, do you realize that you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you? However, we still need to seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit daily, continually, so that we have something to give to others, so that the Spirit is moving in our lives and others can see it. If you've been seeking, but you have not received the fullness of the Spirit, don't give up. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on asking and you will receive. And how can you help others? Stay full of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit fill you and flow from you. Another quality that these men had was that they were full of wisdom. And we need to seek God's wisdom in order to effectively do what God has called us to do. In James chapter 3 at verse 17, it says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere." The third quality that was mentioned of these men is that they were full of faith. We're going to be looking at the life of Stephen in a few weeks from now. But somehow he is singled out as being full of faith. He believed in God for the miraculous. And God used him in a mighty way. In Acts chapter 6 at verse 8, it says that he was a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Do you realize that that gift of the Spirit is available to us today, is available to the church today? Maybe one or more of you have it, and you know that the Spirit is moving within you. Keep cultivating that. Let God develop that Spirit inside of you until it reaches maturity. But what was the result of the apostles and the believers working out the wrinkles and perhaps even the little disagreement that arose amongst them? Well, we see it in verse 7. Which leads us to our final point this morning, and that is an anointed team effort results in the growth of God's kingdom. Someone said that a lot can be accomplished if nobody cares who gets the credit. Now, ultimately, God will get the credit. It's His church. We are His people, and this is His work. And He wants us to learn to work together to reach lost people. Because God's people, they were willing to obey Him. And to work as a team, we see the result, and it's mentioned in verse 7. It says, so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. In chapter 5, last week, we talked about the unstoppable work of God, and God's work will continue on and on until Jesus comes again. We can be part of that team that is about doing our Father's business, but we need each other. If we try to go at it alone and just do it our own way, we might make it. We might actually get there, but somehow we will have missed the mark. The mark of the effectiveness of the Spirit working through us. We will have missed the joy that is found when in close fellowship when we're able to work with other people. I love working with Don. He is just fun to work with. Now, we get on each other's case at times. But it is fun to be able to do things and to work with him. He's got such a servant spirit. If I try to do it on my own, then I miss out on that. So I call him anytime I'm here working. That way we can work together. See, anointed team efforts are efforts that are empowered by the Holy Spirit. If we somehow were able to create a good team effort on our own, and we're able to trudge forward on our own, we would still not be effective in lasting spiritual growth. You see, only Spirit gives life to Spirit. And we need Him today more than ever. As we begin wrapping it up, think about this. We are part of something that is God's idea to win this world. It's God's plan. We are part of His ultimate dream team, the church, doing the will of God together in unity. And as we seek to do what it is that God has called us to do, sometimes we need to just step up, do whatever needs to be done, even if we're not really gifted in that particular area. Then times may come when we have to realign ourselves to get back on track with God's purpose. Get out of the way and let others who are able to operate better in that particular area and find our gifting and get back in line with that. All the while, we need to be cultivating the qualities in our lives that will help us to help others. We need to stay full of the Holy Spirit, God's wisdom, and walk in faith and confidence in the Lord as He guides us and as He directs us. Maybe you've never joined God's team. You know, you've watched a few of the games. You have talked with some of the players. You may even know the playbook. But you haven't committed yourself to God or to the rest of the team. Today could be that day. You could join God's dream team. Maybe you have another area that you need to work on today. You know, you're on the team, but you're off kind of doing your own thing. You're a one-man show. Maybe you need God's help to be a better team player. You need your teammates. Your teammates, they need you. We're in this thing together. So let's do together what it is that God has called us to do in this church here, but also in our community around us and around your own homes. You see, we're all part of God's dream team. Would you stand up and not physically stand up, but would you stand up and be willing to be part of that team and serve God together as God's dream team?